I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello, and welcome to ABG, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. My name is Helen.
I'm Janet.
And I'm Mel.
So, how has everyone's weeks been? It is a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And we are all at my place recording.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This week was long for me.
So, what do you have going on?
Well, so for my team, we're actually having this huge shoot on Monday with this influencer. I don't think I could say her name. Yeah, but it's been a whole ordeal running around trying to figure all the details out. So, that's why I've been stressed at work and I've been brain dead at home.
It's okay. It's the weekend.
You're here. Yeah, and I'm kind of sad too because my man friend is not here anymore because he's in Taiwan for like 10 days.
Is this like the longest period you guys have kind of been apart per se since you started dating?
Your man friend.
I don't know. I mean, yeah.
Mel's boo.
Yeah, actually, I guess I can say he's my boyfriend now.
I know. Update. Wait, I'm pretty sure our listeners want an update.
Okay. I'm getting shy. Okay, so last time we talked about this, I just met him and we've been starting a date.
Yeah.
And we were deciding on going to that wedding, right?
Yes.
Yeah. In SF, yes.
Yes. Well, he ended up going to the wedding with me. It was really fun and he met my parents and that went really well. My parents actually really like him a lot. My dad actually doesn't really talk to anyone because he's really quiet and just speaks Chinese, but he was able to talk to him and conversate
in Mandarin.
Okay. So,
oh, that's
you
nice.
Know, brownie
yeah.
points for the boo thing.
Yeah,
but it went really well. And then a month later, he asked me out,
like formally.
How did he ask you out?
Okay, so
were you guys on the beach?
No.
Were there flowers and hot Cheetos involved?
Did you hold his shoes?
No shoes involved. No, we were wearing shoes. But
I was like, wait, that's weird. Shoes were off. What else was off?
No, not like that. But it's actually a pretty sad day at work because people were getting laid off.
Mm.
And we were supposed to have lunch. And then I was like, hey, weird things are happening at work. I don't think today's a good day. And he's like, okay, I won't come in for lunch. Let's grab dinner instead. I was like, okay, that sounds fine. He told me to call him when I'm in my car. And I was like, just tell me where to meet. Because why am I going to go in my car?
Why do you need to know exactly where
I am? Why is he being in the car? But that day was so stressful. I was like, okay, whatever. I went to my car and I call him. Because I always call him when I drive back home. And I was like, hey, so I'm in my car now. Anyways, today was so weird. And all of a sudden, I hear a knock on my window. And he's standing outside my car with like a bouquet of roses.
Aww.
And I was like literally in shock because I was like,
actually probably would have freaked me out.
luckily
it's in the dark.
But luckily the sun was out. But I was wait.
So it wasn't dark.
It's employee parking. How'd you get up here?
Do you think it was a proposal?
No.
You're like, dude, this is a little soon.
In my parking garage. No, but he was like, this is not the only reason why I'm here with these flowers. And I'm just like, holy shit. Even right now talking about it, I'm sweating and I'm getting really flushed. Or maybe because it's just really hot in here. But yeah, then he like asked me out and then I got really shy.
Aww.
Then we went to get pho because that's like the best thing ever.
Cute.
That's a very Mel celebratory meal.
Yeah. It wasn't hot Cheetos, but I think pho is a good alternative for sure.
That's cute.
So you've been formally together for about 3 months, but you've known each other now for 5 or 6 months. Mm-hmm. So this is usually when you get deeper into a relationship, you start to maybe run into differing opinions, mm-hmm. or you might have like mini fights or like big fights or whatever that is. So why don't we kind of talk a little bit about that? And since the three of us all have different kind of perspectives, mm-hmm. so Mel, you're kind of newly into a relationship. Helen, you've been in a relationship now for like many years.
A couple years.
How long?
2 to 3.
Okay. And I am not in a relationship, but I've been in the last couple of years dating. So that has its own different experience of like mm-hmm. how you might clash with someone. Mm-hmm. Why don't we share with our listeners today? We wanted to talk a little bit about problem solving.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now that Mel, you and your boo have been dating, some of those warm and fuzzies in the beginning, maybe, you know, you might be facing some like harsher realities.
Yeah, we definitely still have those moments where, you know, we're in bed cuddling and it feels so great and I feel like, oh, I'm so like giddy.
Cloud nine.
I definitely still feel that way, but I think me and him are both very opinionated people. So I think with that, sometimes we have like a mix of opinions on things and we start clashing on certain things. Mm. One thing I did notice being in a relationship, like we have situations and problems here and there, but for me, just being single for so long, mm-hmm. having to deal with someone else that's really important to me has been an issue. Mm. Because it's just like, oh, what is this new thing in my life, you know?
So I guess just stepping back a little bit, so you haven't been in a relationship since like 5-6 years ago, right? So this is brand new for those who are just joining us and listening.
It's been
Mel just got a boo a couple months ago and she was not in a relationship for like 5-6 years before, so this is like completely new, I guess. Is it what you had expected it to be like, loving this other person and mm-hmm. feeling like they kind of complete you in a way, but also feeling like you have to deal with these problems and issues?
I think you're right. Since I haven't been in a relationship, actually since I was 19, I haven't been in a relationship. I've dated. So it's during that break of not being in a relationship, I fantasize of what it's going to be like, right? Mm. And the fantasies of it being like loving and giddy and all these like, oh my God, moments are there for sure.
Right.
When it comes to problem solving, when I fantasize about that, I thought be, okay, we'll talk about it. In 5 minutes, it'll be solved.
Mm.
So one thing I am noticing about me and my boo thing is like when we problem solve differently, mm-hmm. or in a sense that like,
you're on different wavelengths.
Exactly. Yeah. Like for me, I cry like a baby. I literally cry all the time. When there's conflict, my first initial reaction is to cry.
It's sadness.
Yeah. And I'm used to talking things out and like I'm really sensitive actually. And so with him, he's a little more like he gets really like heated and he gets mad. And he's not that like a lot of my friends, they date guys who are like the quiet people. Like when they're mad, they just stay quiet.
Mm.
But with me and him, we just talk about like, well, I think this and I think that. And it goes back and forth a lot.
Mm.
And then as we talk, it kind of like, we aren't really seeing each other anymore. We're just talking on our sides. Mm-hmm. And then we just both get upset.
Us three have talked about this before. But when you're younger, relationships feel a lot easier.
Right?
Like less fights because there's less weight on mm-hmm. every argument. Versus I feel like now when we're a little bit older, we're like, oh, shoot, this might be the one. And then anytime you fight, it brings up problems. And you're like, oh, and you project that into your future. Because you're like, is that something that I'm going to have to deal with for the rest of my life? So you put more weight on it. And then you just get more like angry about the problem. At least that's how I felt in my relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, now that we're older, I'm noticing that like I get more upset about things.
Mm-hmm.
And then my partner also gets more upset about things. It's like, why are we fighting more than, you know, I used to mm-hmm. in the past when I'm expecting it to be very puppy love-ish like it has been in the past.
Yeah.
So personally, I guess that's what I've faced.
Yeah.
I think also, at least for me personally as well, as I get older, I feel that I establish different parts of my life more and I get more clear about my values. There are more things that I will have a strong opinion about, mm-hmm. right? Versus when I was younger, like I wouldn't necessarily fight about it because I didn't feel so strongly about it. But now as you develop more as a person, you have like certain things that you have a hard time budging on, right?
Or exactly.
even if it's not values, even if it's a lifestyle, like maybe I go to bed early now and mm-hmm. you go to bed late. And mm-hmm. like that could be such a simple thing that mm-hmm. if you're not able to work together on that, could be a deal breaker. I don't know.
And I almost feel like that's such dangerous territory because nowadays with like dating apps and how easy mm-hmm. it is to access like the
everyone.
Amount of people.
Yeah.
It's like if they don't fit into this certain box, then I'm just gonna, you know, if they don't sleep early, then I can't live with that. And mm-hmm. I'm gonna find someone else that does and has every other characteristic as the guy that I'm talking to right now, right? So it's like I feel like there's no budge almost. Like people people nowadays are more like
more willing to cut things off.
Right.
Like, and that's actually a really big theme I want to talk about. for mm-hmm. my personal
opinion. Yeah, but we can.
No, but I, but no, when Jenna was talking, like, I totally agree, because I think since I've been single for so long, the strongest relationship I have is with myself. And to the point, like, I know, like, I think I know myself so well, and I know how I go about my day to day. My friends know me so well.
Yeah.
And now bring in this person, just met me.
Right.
But now he's this most important person in my life. He's supposed to be, right?
Right.
And having him to figure me out and I meet for him, then I start questioning, like, oh my God, are we, oh, we're kind of like disagreeing on this. Wait, this is something I really, I think very importantly, this is, or this is my value. But then I ask myself, wait, am I being like too, am I not
inflexible? Like, how much should you budge and how much should you
exactly? Because you don't want to, you don't want to give up too much of yourself, but at the same time, you want to be able to compromise with someone you care about. And so that's like an internal struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from single as fuck to like being in a relationship, you know?
that is a very difficult place to be, though. It's like, right, like, how much do I compromise about myself in order to make it work with this other individual? And is that other person the right person for me to invest this much of myself into him?
Exactly.
Into this relationship.
Well, since it's still premature for my relationship, I feel like when we do fight, we always end up with, we still want this to work.
Right.
Man, like, I think one thing I'm learning so much is every relationship is going to have their issues. But choosing the right person you want to fight with, that's what, for me, it's making me go, I want to work this out with this person.
Mm-hmm. You put any two people together, and you, because you're different individuals, you're going to clash on things, right? So, like, what is going to make it worth getting through together is you have to really want it, and you want them. I don't know, this coming from someone who's, like, not in a relationship.
No, I haven't been in one for many years. Well, I do want to ask you, Janet, because I feel like now that you're in the dating scene, like, do you
mildly feel... I have, like, one toe in.
No, we see your Bumble chats. We see, well, we actually see the pool you have to talk to, and I'm just, damn, girl.
Yeah.
One toe in. That's a very, like, weird visual.
You see this? But now since you're in the dating scene, like, do you feel like... When you see a quick problem with someone, you're automatically like, this is not going to work out.
Yeah, that's exactly based on what Helen was talking about before. I catch that in myself a lot, and I know that, you know, speaking, or not only do I see that in the guys that I'm dating, but I see that with a lot of my single girlfriends too. And because the dating app culture makes you, it gives you either the illusion or the reality that there's a lot of other options, you feel like if something's not going to work, like, it's not even about being greedy and finding better, but it's like that this person isn't right for me, right? If you have that fantasy of the right person, like, the right person would not, like, we wouldn't fight, or we would, or he wouldn't do this, or I wouldn't be that way around him. And that's something that I'm actively trying to check myself a little bit more on, but I still struggle with that, right? Because it's like, how much do you invest? And especially at this point, when you're barely dating, like, I might not have, I might have gone on one date with a person. What helps me decide whether I should continue to go on a second date, or if I should, you know, kind of alter and find someone else?
I almost feel like dating apps and just dating in general nowadays, modern dating, is very much like the whole Angelina Jolie and, like, Brad Pitt syndrome, where it's like you date someone because you're attracted to them, right? And so when you're attracted to them, there's, like, a very physical component to it, but you expect everything to kind of just come with it as well. And so you put someone else, like, on a pedestal. And so when you get into a relationship and you first start arguing and you learn about the other person, you're just like, oh, they're not who I expected them to be. But when you start from, like, a friendship and you're actually trying to understand each other and, like, get to know each other, accept each other for your differences, I feel like that's a better foundation for a relationship, or it's much easier to actually build
that. I think that's really true. And I think going through friendship where you know, you kind of, like, align first on your values and on your personality traits seems to set you up for success much more than just there being, like, that, you know, attraction. Animalistic fire, like, attraction.
But there's one thing, like, when you guys are talking about this, I thought about, like, me and my boo, and I'm like, you know, like, when we do, like, have problems or when we're fighting, I feel like your mind gets so clouded with, we're in a fight right now, and you forget all the other qualities through your relationship, your friendship. Then you forget, like, oh my God, you bring all these great things to our relationship. And, like, when you're fighting, you're like, I feel so hurt. But you're like, but you make me feel great because me and you value family. Me and you have fun doing this. And,
And actually, Mel, when you're saying, because you've been single for so long and then now you're, like, with someone and how hard it is to fight. I mean, I've had even, like, altercations with someone I barely just started dating because I haven't been used to, like, dealing with emotions for so long. The moment that, like, Pandora's box opens up, I freak out too. And I get really sad and I get really angry. And
yeah,
it's hard to transition, and I don't know.
Because it's like, here's this person that you like super care about, and you're like, oh, you get me, you get me. And then when the moment they don't get you, you're like,
what the fuck?
Why don't you get me?
Yeah, you're supposed to. You're supposed to. Mentality, right? Yeah, right. And it's kind of toxic. And then I made this comparison when I was fighting. I was like, I'm so used to dealing with like, you know, like conflict in a work setting. It's like, oh, let's sit down and talk about what's not working and how we.
That's yeah, when same. Emotions aren't involved, right?
It's weird because I, like, even with your friends, you kind of like, I don't know, me and my friends fight really cordial. Like, oh, you know, I just didn't like when you did that. Oh, really? Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. Done. But when you bring in like your boyfriend, it's, your emotions are just heightened.
Yeah.
And it's not like, I'm like, wait, why are you getting mad? We need to talk about this and then write down our point A, B, and C and then move on from there. And but sometimes it's not like that.
I think people also approach arguments or how to express their feelings differently, right?
Yeah.
Like, you might be totally on the same wavelength in terms of, like, everything else in life. Like, I don't know, cooking, day-to-day life, everything else. But then when it comes to, like, how to express your emotions, sometimes people get angry. Sometimes people need time to just, like, go to a corner and just sit and, like, play Candy Crush or something.
Wait. For me, I want to solve things now. Like, I don't care. We're fighting. Mm-hmm. We got to figure out now.
I'm like that, too.
Yeah. But then at the same time, like, in the moment, like, I think I'm so level-headed.
In the moment,
I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I'm being so level-headed and, like, an adult, and I wanted to fix it out now. And he was like, nah, dude, I'm mad. Like, you got to give me some space. And I'm someone that, like, the more space you create for me and the more time that passes,
The more anxious I get.
Yeah.
But then one thing I'm learning is, like, you know what? Like, for the better of our relationship and for us to solve this, I need to let that happen, because it's not fair for me to ask you, let's fix it now, when you're like, dude, I can't. I need to walk away.
Sorry, it's kind of like the differences in like love language, right?
Yeah.
This is like differences in argument languages.
Well, what's your argument language?
For me, let me think about it. So I feel like it's changed.
That's interesting too. Like how you might change your way of expressing your emotions.
Right.
Yeah.
I think before I used to be, I would say, a lot more immature in how I argued, in that I felt like I was always right, and I wasn't as willing to hear the other person's side. And I think, like you, Mel, I also wanted to just be like, oh, yeah, like, let's just make up and call it a day and not, you know, bring it into the next day or just, like, get over it
faster.
You
just wanted to find the conclusion. You know? Yeah.
And I think now it's more like arguments I see are actually good for a relationship, because then during those moments, you can actually figure out what it is the other person really needs.
Right.
And, like, how do you cater to that and compromise a little bit from yourself so that you can actually work it out in the future? Because that's probably going to come up again at some point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything else is, like, great, good, but, like, these moments of contention, that really defines, like, how, like, strong your relationship is.
That's true.
So are you someone that, do you like kind of working through it in the moment, or do you need space to think about stuff
and I think deal with your feelings? I am more of a, like, let me hear your side, you hear my side, and sometimes it, like, gets heightened because it's like, all right, you hear my side? Yeah. Let's hear more of my side.
Why are our voices getting louder and faster?
Oh my God.
So in those moments, it's like, okay, let's step away a little bit, take a break, and then come back. So I like to try and figure it out faster, but sometimes that's just not the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Janet?
I just cry. It's bad. I mean, because I haven't been in a relationship in so long. Like, when I feel like the brief kind of, like, longer term relationships I've had in the last couple of years, because I'm not used to dealing with my feelings. Mm-hmm. And I, like you, Mel, I'm not someone who gets angry. I get sad right away. And so if someone comes at me anger, I shut down. I can't. But I also have this desire to solve problems, like, right away, because I don't like them to linger. But as with the both of you ladies, I've learned over time that you can't always do that, and you have to kind of learn to be patient. And
it's like, I'm just like Janet. Like, in the moment when we're, like, fighting, even though we're fighting, we're both mad, all of a sudden I switch to,
I just start crying.
I need to be nurtured.
And it makes it worse if you, like,
come over here and hug me. And I think I told him, I was like, we're fighting, like, I just need you to hug me. He's like, dude, but I'm mad. Like, it's hard for me when I'm mad. I was like, and then in my head I was like, am I asking something so unreasonable right now?
Yeah.
You know, it's just hard.
And it's like, if you go over and hug him, he'd be like, what the F? Like, yeah. I'm not in this, like, place right now.
And one thing I noticed too, like, I think one thing I need to learn is to apply what I learned about him to our, like, not saying our next fight, but we're going to have, like, more, like, conflict.
Yeah.
But I think, like, last time I half-heartedly tried to, but not really, because I think he knew, he told me, I need my space. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, 3 hours, that's enough space, right? No, it's not.
You have, like, a timer going.
Yeah. I was like, because I'm so anxious. I'm just like, I want to.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was like, that 3 hours for me is, like, a year.
Yeah. You know, and that wasn't enough time. So I was like, okay, you know what? Next time I really just have to walk away and just, you know what? We'll figure it out later. Because one thing I did learn is when I'm given that time, sometimes I feel like in the moment you feel like you're in the right. Right. Like, I don't know why he's acting this way. I think what I asked is reasonable. But then when you give enough space to think about it, it's like maybe like then you start reevaluating. Like, what did I? Maybe
sometimes you need the time for yourself.
Yep.
So we're talking about like arguments, but I guess more situationally, like how do you prevent the argument from happening? Right. So what do you think is driving a lot of the confrontation arguments that you guys are having? If you want to talk about it.
Oh, no, for me, it's more like, I don't know. I think it's because we're so fresh in our relationship. I don't know what triggers each other.
So, I guess the last argument, what triggered that argument?
Well, I think one fight, I won't go into too much of details, but I think I asked him to like to give me more something. Mm-hmm. That sounds really dirty.
Wait,
that's not what it is. I'm really happy in that L. No, but I think I asked him to give me more support with the podcast, to be honest. Because I look at you, Helen, I see how supportive your boyfriend is with our podcast. And then I asked him that really, like, cordially. And he was like, he got really quiet. And he's like, well, he's like, I thought I'd give you support. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh. And I think in my mind, like, he does. Like, I talk to him about our outlines and things. And he gets really excited about, you know, if we have good opportunities coming. But the fact that maybe because I compare that to what your boyfriend does, that's not fair because the fact that he's a producer on our show versus my boyfriend isn't. And it just like this spiraled out to this other thing. And he's like, well, you don't support me on this. And I was like, oh, I didn't even realize. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask him what he like, what are you passionate about or what do you like or things like that. Because it's like, it's not fair for me to ask for you to give me something, but I'm not giving that back.
Right.
I'm glad also that he brought up like, oh, I kind of wish you supported me more in a different aspect, because that's like a small seed of like, ugh, she's not doing this, that could grow into something that's bigger. Right.
Exactly.
So it's almost like it's better to bring it up and nip it in the bud right away. Mm-hmm. It's difficult if you don't know what you're asking for though.
Yeah. All right. So Helen, how about you? What's the last thing you and your boo thing thought about?
I would say maybe even along the same lines of like expectations and communication. So New Year's, I was in Boston and he was in the Bay Area. And I had texted him. I was like, oh, hey, can we do this? Can we like go hiking on New Year's Eve and bring our journals and just like have a moment to ourselves and, you know, just have alone time, but be together and just write and reflect about the year and like that's what we're looking, you know, forward to. So get to SF. And New Year's Eve, and it was kind of rushed. And maybe he didn't get it in the text message. Like, that journaling part was really important to me because it was just through text where I was like, can we get our journals and do this? So I had expected that we would be, like, that super gung-ho about this, that we would, you know, this is definitely something that we were doing. And then it comes time to it. It felt like it was kind of like a, oh, yeah, let's go do this.
Like a casual thing.
Like a casual thing, right? And not journaling and just going on a hike. But the whole journaling thing, like, wasn't a big part of it. And so I had gotten, like, upset. We already went into the car and I didn't bring, like, my journal. He didn't bring his either. And instead of me saying, like, oh, why didn't we bring our journals? I was just upset in the car. And so that started an argument.
Oh, yeah. Because I feel like in a way, like, you, in your mind, you're like, this is really important to me and to us. Or, like, I thought it'd be really cool. And then the fact that maybe in your mind, like, oh, he blew off so easily, or like, oh, kind of like, oh, brush it off. You're like, I wanted you to know that this is important.
Right.
And then that happens a lot. And then instead of just talking about it.
Right. So it's at the end of the day, it is really about like communication and like really pushing the point and not expecting the other person to already know what you're thinking or what's in your mind.
I agree.
I'm like that a lot too, though. I feel like I feel like if they don't get it and then I start to feel hurt, it's hard for me to bring myself down and just like, because one way you can nip it in the bud is just say it directly, right? Like, hey, this is something I really wanted to do. But when I'm emotional like that and I feel hurt, I'm like, why doesn't, like, oh, every movement he's making is like, he's not getting it. Yeah. It just makes it worse and worse and you get more and more pissed off.
Yeah. And
more
and then it becomes more physical where you show it in your physical like movements and appearance. Yeah. And you're like, can't he tell that I'm mad right now?
Yeah. And then that makes it worse too, is like, maybe he doesn't get it, but he probably senses you're upset.
Right.
But you're like, why aren't you reacting?
Yeah.
Like, you're not acknowledging that I'm like feeling pain or I'm not like, not happy or
and
something.
Then he's probably like getting more mad, like, why isn't she just
tell
me
why
what's
is
wrong?
She upset?
Exactly.
So and then it kind of snowballs.
And then it becomes whole like, and he goes, what's wrong? Nothing. Everything's fine. And then it's like, are you sure? Yeah, everything's fine. And then it just becomes this whole like,
I asked her.
Whenever a woman says everything is fine, usually it's not fine.
But and to our point, like, we should try to be more communicative. But for a guy too, just as like a, you know, if your woman says that, please try to ask her.
But then, like, I would say that, he got upset that I was, like, holding this back and I hadn't communicated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, why are you getting upset
when that I'm upset?
When I'm upset. Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like that happens, like, a lot.
It actually, yeah, it does.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I would say that now when, like, that was sort of a learning moment for us.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're feeling a certain way and you're going to bring in some sort of negativity into, like, our
dynamic,
currently, like, you're responsible for saying it and then having the other person react rather than just assuming, right? To, like, just communicate it up front if you know that it might become something.
Yeah.
If they don't act on it and it becomes something, that's on you then. You're assuming that the other person can read your mind, which they can't.
I think communication is always, like, I always, like, boil down to, like, if there's an issue, it's because you guys didn't communicate it clearly what's going on.
And the thing is, I feel it's so easy to say, right? Because everyone talks about what's, you know, it's commonly highlighted as, like, the most important thing in a relationship. But what makes it hard to communicate is when you're emotional, right? Like, it's not easy to do all that. It's easy to say logically, but to actually, like, execute when you're, like, heated or when you're hurt or when you're angry, I think it's, like, really hard to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the other person ever is doing anything to hurt you intentionally, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, intent, actually, that's a very good point. I think intention makes such a big difference. But even then, sometimes it can be difficult to be empathetic to that when you're feeling so much.
No, right? I agree. Mm-hmm.
I think in addition to that, like, approach is one of the bigger things that we do talk about too. Like, if you're upset and you're going to bring up something that is making you feel upset, instead of being irrational about it and, like, just right off the bat, just like, hey, you aren't doing this or whatever, like, try to understand where they're coming from. I feel like that solves a lot of the issues because then you understand, like, what they're thinking and that their intent is not to ignore what you had wanted to, to do.
Like, right? Give them an opportunity to defend or explain, kind of, right?
Right. And, that, like, and also, this is, like, so stupid, but I think it's applicable to many, like, areas, even, like, at work when you're giving feedback or something.
Yeah.
Always bring up something positive first.
Yeah.
And then bring up something that you're feeling so good about. So I've been trying to take that approach.
The more, if you're already going to talk about something heavy, if you're coming off either angry or sad, it makes it worse, right?
Oh, yeah.
So trying to keep it as, like, positive as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really good advice. We kind of are talking about we're, like, kind of sharing some of our issues. What's your kind of philosophy or theory on when you guys fight with your partner and then do you talk about it with your friends? What have been your experiences on, like, feedback that you get? Or have you had friends come to you sharing some of their relationship things and, like, how do you generally, like, navigate that?
I think for me, one natural way I cope with problems is I vent a lot to my friends. But one thing I'm learning also being in a relationship, like, talking to my boyfriend, he brings up a good point. He's like, you know, I think this is when we have problems or anything, I want it to stick between me and you. Because he's like, you don't want everyone knowing your dirt, right?
Right.
And I feel like I have heard a lot of situations with my other friends when they would talk about their issues to us. All we fixate on are the issues of the relationship. We don't see the good things that are happening in the relationship.
Right.
And then we naturally think, like, oh, this guy's shit for you. Because why do you have so many issues? Mm-hmm. But in reality, all she's sharing is her problems.
Right.
Not,
right. She comes to you for advice when things are bad.
Yeah. She doesn't go to me when things are good.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's
she's gonna be with him, right? When things are good. I feel like I go to Helen a lot because I'm like, help me, I'm in a relationship. I'm a noob. Did you vent a lot to your friends, or who do you vent to? Or
I think in the beginning of our relationship, like, I did vent a lot to like friends from home that I felt like were more removed from the situation.
Mm.
But I realized that the downside of that is that that's all I hear because I'm not home as often. So anytime we, like, catch up, girl talk and whatnot, like, I would bring things up then. And they'd be like, dang, what a terrible guy. And I'd be like, yeah, but no. But they don't hear the full side.
Yeah,
right?
Because
they don't hear the good stuff. So, yeah, when we first started off a relationship, it was, like, a little rocky. So a lot more arguments then. And now I feel like we're a lot more stable. So I'll go back and tell them, like, oh, yeah, we're so good now. You know, we moved in together, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, but is he still like this? And I'm like, no, he's not. And they're like, are you sure? I'll have to, like, meet him and see for myself.
Yeah.
Right? So now I'm like a little bit more cautious about who I talk to.
Yeah.
I think my sister is for sure my outlet because I do call her and I tell her like everything. Anytime we're like going through something to a point where she's just like, Helen, okay, I'm just going to put my phone down, but I'm listening.
Like, really?
Go Annie.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think you do need someone to be your outlet when you're, you know, venting or you feel like you have to vent.
Right. Because
when you internalize it, that's when it gets really
bad. It gets so bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think also knowing the balance, like don't be like, don't be telling like 10,000 people your issues, but like find like a one person or a few that you feel like you can confide in.
Mm-hmm.
But also try to like, I don't know, for me, it's like respecting your relationship. That's why you do that too.
Yeah. And it's helpful if it's like, if you go to someone like your sister who knows you really well, who knows your personality, who knows your values, and when you're sharing things, like they understand that it's coming from your perspective, right? And I think it's good to have that person who knows you be like a gut check.
Yeah.
Because you might have a certain inclination yourself, but they might be able to offer you an alternative perspective.
Yeah. Because I feel like one thing is like, you don't want to have go to that girlfriend who's always taking your side. Because it's then they're like, what an asshole. And I was like, but I also want someone to like
understand
that, and call me out on my bullshit too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So finding that right person also is a challenge too. Right.
And it's definitely helpful to just talk to someone because or else you're going to see just your side. Right. Like Janet, you were saying, just having someone offer that alternative perspective. Like, oh, well, did you think about maybe he's thinking this?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh, shit, was he?
Yeah. Well, Janet, do you have any, like, did you vent to friends or?
Yeah, I have like a couple of close girlfriends that I feel like know me really well and I know them really well. And so whenever things happen, like I'll just like word vomit to them, you know, either through like GChat or on the phone. I'm just like, blah, all these things, stress.
Yeah.
And usually they'll be able to, they're always, I feel like they listen really well. And because they know me, they'll always offer kind of like, well, I know that you're this way, blah, blah, blah. And I try to do that for them as well. And my approach usually is like, I want to be more of like an outlet for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like giving people advice so much because no matter how close you are to them, you are not one of the two people involved, right?
Mm.
And so generally it's like, I might, if I feel like there's a red flag, I'll say something, you know, but otherwise it's usually like, this is my perspective, but it's my opinion, I don't know. Or it's more like, I'll just listen and you ask them questions to help them come up with the answer themselves.
Damn, Janet. I feel like Janet always like when I talked about like, you know, work stuff and vent to her, like she's like a really good big sister. You have a good ear.
Aww.
I really
thank you.
I was word vomiting to Janet this morning actually. Oh my god, work stuff, stress, all blah. So one thing I do want to talk about before we end this episode is I actually want to call myself out on something that I realized being in a relationship is that I used to be really judgmental on my friends and their relationships and their problems because they'd vent to me and I'd be like, why are you with him? You could do so much better. I was that girlfriend too. But then now being in a relationship after so many years, you realize like every relationship has their own issues and nothing's perfect. And for you to figure out if you want to fight for this person and want to work things out and if that person is your special person.
Mm-hmm.
And when your friends vent to you, like that's just their issue. There's one problem they might have. And I think before when I would hear their problems, I'm just like, it's easy for me to be like, no, this is not okay. Mm-hmm. This doesn't work.
Right. And it's kind of default because they're your friends, so you go into protective mode, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's one thing I'm learning is like to really understand that like every relationship has their own issues and their own dynamics, and they all figure out in their own different way how to solve them.
Oh, Mel's getting so mature.
Am I?
Almost 30.
No. I have like 3 more years.
Yeah, Mel, I think it's really cool to see your process in a relationship. Like you getting into a relationship and now you going through, you know, the highs and the lows that I think a lot of relationships do go through. Yeah. And not a lot of people talk about it. So I'm glad that you shared your experiences with us. I feel like we're growing with you and our listeners are also growing with you as you keep sharing.
I'm sure a lot of people appreciate the reality.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of ABG and joining us on our problem solving relationships episode. You can catch us on our social at Asian Boss Girl on Instagram, Facebook, and we're on iTunes at ABG-Asian Boss Girl.
Yes. Yeah. Subscribe so that we'll just show up in your feed. If you're so inclined, please give us a rating or write us a review. And if you guys have any experiences that you want to share about problem solving in relationships, write us at asianbossgirl@gmail.com.
Catch you guys on the next episode.
Bye.